Well, this morning we're going to be talking about how to protect yourself from spiritual defeat. And you're going to see some pictures of some people. I want to ask you a question as to what they have in common. Okay, you probably remember this guy, President Nixon. Matt Lauer, The Today Show, Lori Loughlin, known as Aunt Becky. Well, what do all these people have in common, you think? Well, to me, they're all known for at least one tragic mistake that basically, today we're going to be looking at personal and professional life. Uzziah that had an experience that basically ruined his life. And we're going to learn something from that. Hopefully, it is going to keep us from spiritual defeat. See, we have an adversary called Satan that's roaming around that wants to bring us down to spiritual defeat. Well, this message today is going to focus on one of the most successful kings of the southern kingdom, that of Judah, and that was King Uzziah. His name basically means Jehovah is strength, and he became the 11th king at age 16, and he held the second longest tenure for a king in Judah, and that was of 52 years. Listen to some of his accomplishments. He, early in his career, defeated all his enemies. He improved the economic status of Judah. He was an intelligent military tactician. He was able to conceive and to construct some amazing weapons for that day and age. He became famous for these inventions, as a matter of fact. He was a superb organizer. His fame spread as far as the Egyptian dynasty. And Judah enjoyed a bright spot in history at that time. But you know, in spite of all of these things, he became a classic example of what happens to a person when their success goes their head, pride takes over, and they think they don't answer to anybody, even to God. So we're going to take a look at this passage this morning. A little bit in detail. You've had it read to you. So let's look at chapter 26 of 2 Chronicles. We're going to start in verses 1 through 5. Now, it says in 1 through 5 that Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king. How many of you guys here are 16 years old? Any 16 years old people here? I see one, two, okay. Matthew, you don't count. You're not 16. Okay. All right, okay. Well, at 16, I promise you, at 16, I was thinking about getting my driver's license, maybe getting a date for the weekend. I wasn't thinking about ruling a kingdom at that time. But let me take just a little segment here. We have some outstanding students here. They may not be ruling the United States, but they're engaged in helping us follow the Lord here at Bethany Place. And I want to applaud them for the great job that they have done. And they're truly engaged. They just got back from Ridgecrest from camp, and so I know they all had a great experience there at Ridgecrest. And let me thank all the parents that have had such an impact on their children's lives. And we have some outstanding youth ministry leaders as well that are engaging in these students and helping them grow in their walk with the Lord. And that's very important for that. Well, Uzziah reigned for 52 years. And verse 5, notice Zechariah. And we're going to come back to that name just in a little bit. But this verse supports the idea of mentoring or discipling people, being discipled or discipling someone. And this is a great passage to look at. Verses 6 through 15, let's look there. Here we see that Uzziah was successful against some of the Philistine cities we studied about in some of our summer friends groups. And a couple of names you probably remember in some of your studies. We've been studying Ashdod and Gath. You remember who's from Gath? Anybody remember who's from Gath? Goliath. Goliath was from Gath. Now, in looking at that, David fought Goliath around 1023 to 1018 B.C. Don't know the exact date on that. And Uzziah ruled around 791 to 739 B.C. So there's about 230 years between there. But this was really happening. Verses 8 through 9 says that that Uzziah had become very strong. Pay note of this word. That word strong is used several times throughout this passage. Now, you may say very powerful in your translation, but strong here in this Hebrew word means courageous, that he was very courageous. Now, verses 9 through 10, we find that Uzziah wasn't behind the desk type of guy. Matter of fact, one place it says that he loved the soil. He loved to plant things. He loved being engaged in agriculture. So agriculture was going well. He wanted for Judah to become self-sufficient, so made sure that things were growing. They had cattle, and they were providing for themselves. It says he made sure there was water available for all the crops. And also defense was important for him. It said that he built towers out where they were growing the crops, and these were so they could spot when the enemy was coming along to protect those who were growing the crops. Verses 11 through 15, look there. Notice that this is the first suggestion on record of any warlike engines for attack or defense of a besieged place. There's a phrase in there that sounds like he had built a catapult. Now, I looked up the word catapult to see when that was actually invented, and this is what it says about catapult: that Dionysius, the elder of Syracuse, was reported to have invented the first catapult in 400 AD. Now, but if you look in the Bible, about 300 years earlier than that, we see something that appears to be a catapult that was built. So, interesting that that this invention came before another, what they thought was the invention. Also, it's something like a crossbow was invented as well by Uzziah. But all these inventions struck terror in his enemies, and so they were amazed at what was going on. Verse 14 says he provided for weapons for the army. No longer did they have to provide for their own weapons, because up to that point, when they came to fight, they had to bring their own weapons with them. But he provided the weapons for the army. Army was over 300,000 men that were there. Verse 15 says this: in Jerusalem he made machines invented by skillful men to be on the towers and the corners to shoot arrows and great stones. And his fame spread far, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. Now, this marvelously really refers to something God had done in his life. So God was working in him. Now, we see this word strong one more time, same Hebrew word that means courageous. Now, we're going to take a little bit of detour now, verses 16 through 20, because this is where Uzziah's downfall begins. He goes into the temple, and he knowingly goes against God's law. And here we see this phrase: but when he was strong, he grew proud to his destruction. Now, this strong is a little bit different word. That strong means vehemence or force or violence, and it's used in a bad sense. So he had the headstrong, I could do no wrong attitude at this point. For instance, do you know that sometimes a strength can become a weakness? If your strength is your drive and determination, it can in turn lead to a weakness where you don't listen to other people. And in Uzziah's case, he had the strength, but he began to not listen to God. He was seeking the Lord before this time, but it sounds like at this point he wasn't seeking the Lord anymore. That strength turned into a weakness. And it was precisely that strength that blinded him to the boldness of his actions. And that was a sin for him. He took on the role of a priest. So why was that bad? Why was taking on the role of the priest bad? Well, if we turn back to Numbers 18, 5 through 7, then we see some instructions given to Aaron in regards to his and the tribe of Levites' responsibility for the temple. And listen to this verse, these verses. It says there, these are instructions to Aaron: you are to be responsible for the care of the sanctuary and the altar so that wrath will not fall on the Israelites again. I myself have selected your fellow Levites from among the Israelites as a gift to you, dedicated to the Lord to do the work at the tent of meeting. But only you and your sons may serve as priests in connections with everything in the altar. and inside the curtain, I am giving you the service of the priest as a gift, and get this last sentence. Anyone else who comes near the sanctuary must be put to death. Must be put, a pretty awesome phrase there. Well, you know, I think the Uzziah, he got off a little bit easier at that point. You know, we've been studying Saul and Samuel. You remember there was a place where Saul was waiting for Samuel to come for 7 days, and he was supposed to wait for Samuel to show up to present a burnt offering to the Lord. And Saul got ahead of himself and went ahead and presented that. Samuel shows up and basically berates Saul. Why did you do this? You're no longer the person that God is going to have as king. So Saul began, he suffered from that as well. So it was really important that there was a division between the priest and the king. Uzziah didn't remember that rule. In this passage, notice there was not just one priest that came in to get him. There were 80 priests. They were afraid of Uzziah. He was a great king, and they all came in and tried to get him to not do what he was going, taking that censer to provide incense to the Lord. But what happened? Well, God struck Uzziah with leprosy because, well, main thing, he became angry at the priests and didn't listen to what they were saying, but he was sinning against God by doing something that the king was not supposed to do. And then in verses 21 through 23, we see that for Uzziah's act, he lived apart from his family for the rest of his life, couldn't even go into the temple, but for a Jewish person was very important. He couldn't be there in the temple. Well, what can we learn from this passage today? What is our application? And that's why I want to look at three things today that apply to these passages. The first thing I want to talk about is this. To protect ourselves from spiritual defeat, we need to seek and allow help from other Christians. We need help from other Christians. 2 Chronicles 26:5 says this, talking about Uzziah. He set himself to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. You see, Uzziah began with some positive help, but when Zechariah was gone, things began to run downhill for him. You know, the Bible is filled a lot of places with encouragement for us as believers to be around other Christians and to help other Christians to grow in the Lord. Galatians 5:13 says to serve one another. Romans 15:7 says to accept one another. Galatians 6:2 says to bear one another's burdens. Romans 12:10 says love one another. Also in Romans 12:10 it says honor one another. Then in 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says encourage one another. To me, the loneliest person is a Christian who's trying to do it life on their own. See, we're not designed that way. God gave us all spiritual gifts, and we as believers are supposed to use those in conjunction with other believers. Matter of fact, there's no such thing as a Christian with all the spiritual gifts. It just doesn't happen. Let me ask you this. Are you a Christian without a church home? You need a church home. God has us come together to serve one another. There's no such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian. You know, not going it alone is one reason behind the role of the church elders here at Bethany Place. See, your elder team serves as an accountability structure to help your teaching elder, help me as a staff member, and also provide counsel for us as we talk and we minister to one another. See, even pastors need help at times. Proverbs 15:22 says this, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. Many advisors, they succeed. Verse 5 talks about Zechariah. He was in a mentoring relationship with Uzziah that I've mentioned. You know, we've had some people we've talked about earlier. I'm going to take a little sidestep. Gene has talked about mentoring, about adoption, about fostering. Larry Hart, I was talking to him this morning, he's involved with a group called CASA, and that's almost similar to what's happened here with this 16 years old. His father had already passed away. He needed some help. And we've talked about giving help to those spiritually that need help and need assistance. And we can do that as well. Well, the text doesn't say much about Zechariah's method, what he did. All we see is that Zechariah taught him to fear God. And some texts say that he instructed him in divine visions. Now, this is not the same Zechariah that was a prophet. Matter of fact, after this passage here, we don't hear much about this Zechariah, which is interesting. This Zechariah wasn't out for himself. He was there to help this young Uzziah to grow in the fear of the Lord. And Uzziah, I believe, was truly blessed by this relationship with Zechariah. See, Zechariah didn't make a name for himself, but he was willing to put his own agenda, his wants, and his desires on hold to help this young Uzziah. Have you ever had a person like that in your life who was there for you to help you grow in your walk with the Lord? I have. The first church I served in was in Greenbrier, Tennessee, a very large metropolitan area, had one traffic light and one grocery store. It was a bedroom community of Nashville. Fred Baldwin was the pastor there. And I was a young seminary graduate, and you know, I knew everything, and I knew how to make this church grow, and I was just going to be the best thing since sliced bread at this church. Well, actually, that wasn't the case. I made a lot of mistakes. Fred Baldwin was such a caring, mentoring type person that he took me under his wings and allowed me to fail, but also would pick me up and tell me how to do it right. And so he was there for me. Matter of fact, there were times when Fred made some personal sacrifices on his own to help me out, just to make sure that I was growing. And he did that on purpose for me, and it helped me grow. You see, we all need to seek help and provide help for other believers when we can. When we can. The second thing I want to look at is this. To protect ourselves from spiritual defeat, we need to watch out for pride. We need to watch out for pride. 2 Chronicles 26, verses 18 through 21. And they withstood King Uzziah and said to him, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary. We have done wrong, and it will bring you no honor for the Lord God." Then Uzziah was angry. Now he had a censer in his hand to burn incense, and when he became angry with the priests, leprosy broke out on his forehead in the presence of the priests in the house of the Lord by the altar of incense. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked at him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead. And they rushed him out quickly, and he himself hurried to go out because the Lord had struck him. Again, he was a leper to the day he died. So Uzziah's pride led to his downfall. And he spent the rest of his life away from his family, away from everybody. And this brought him to a fateful end. You see, when we set our own terms with God, then we follow Satan's path. You remember what Satan's downfall was? It was pride. Satan fell because of pride. C.S. Lewis, in his book Mere Christianity, writes this. It was through pride that the devil became the devil. Pride leads to every other vice. It is the complete anti-God state of mind. As long as you are proud, you cannot know God. A proud man is always looking down on things and people. And of course, as long as you're looking down, you cannot see something that is above you. You know, pride can take us down and humble us very, very quickly. Chan Gailey was the head football coach of Georgia Tech football for a while back. He since went from Georgia Tech on to the NFL. Before he was at Georgia Tech, he was at a smaller school in Alabama called Troy State University. And one year they were playing for the national championship in their division. And so one morning he was on his way out to the practice field, and as he was going out the door, his secretary says, "Coach, you have a phone call." He says, "Well, never mind, just take a message." And secretary says, "But it's Sports Illustrated." He says, "Okay, I'll be right there." So he turns around and goes back, and he's thinking as he's going to this phone call, you know, they're finally going to write something great about me and our football team. You know, what kind of pose should I have on the front of Sports Illustrated? An action pose or just a regular pose? And how many pages are they going to write about us? And what kind of things are they going to say? You know, this is so exciting. So he gets to the phone and answers the phone. They said, is this Chan Gailey? He said, yes, it is. He says, well, this is Sports Illustrated. We're calling to let you know that your subscription has run out. So, you know, thinking more of ourselves can humble us at unexpected moments. So how does this idea of pride, how does this affect us? Well, we think we know better than God, and the slippery slope begins. We give up meeting together with other believers. We slack off in our daily devotions. Little by little, begin participating in those things that used to be wrong in our eyes. And they were, and they are. And we begin to see pride creep in and take over, and our spiritual life begins to slip, and begins to slip, and begins to slip. Pride can destroy our life. The third thing, when a list doesn't always exist, to protect ourselves from spiritual defeat, we need to be aware that success doesn't always equal spiritual maturity. Now, Uzziah gained great success, but obviously fell further and further away from God. God blessed him in so many things that he did, from farming to battles to protecting Judah. But remember what verses 15 and 16 tell us. They say this: his fame spread far and wide, for he was greatly helped until he became strong. Some verses say powerful. But after Uzziah became strong or powerful, his pride led to his downfall. Pride snuck in. Matthew 23:12 says this: for whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. You know, unfortunately for me, I have seen too many churches and pastors that grew mightily yet allowed that success or that power to go to their head. And this is unfortunate, even with pastors where pride has taken over. The success they have found begins to be the driving force in their life, and that becomes to be the power they're looking for. In the early 80s, my family, my wife and my daughter and I moved to Fort Worth, Texas, for me to attend Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, the greatest seminary in the world. At least it was the biggest seminary in the world at that time, may still be. And while we were there, we joined a large church there in Fort Worth called Travis Avenue Baptist Church. And one reason I did that is so I could intern for a year at that church. Joe Gregory was the senior pastor at Travis Avenue at the time. Again, one of the largest Baptist churches in Fort Worth. Dr. Gregory has probably one of the most powerful voices I've ever heard from a preacher, even better than James. I hate to say that, but it's like listening to James Earl Jones preaching. You can just feel it in the pew. Is that good? Where Dr. Gregory started, as most pastors, they're coming up through the ranks preaching, and he got his PhD and began to get larger and larger churches. Finally, he came to what was the church that was next door to the seminary and began preaching there. And I've heard that the pews were filled almost every Sunday because his preaching was so good. Some of the seminary professors started joining the church as well. They heard about him. Even the seminary president heard about him and wanted to come check him out, and he joined the church as well. And the seminary president was so excited about his preaching ability that he invited him to come to the seminary to teach preaching to the young pastors, candidates that were there. Well, he was invited to come preach at Travis Avenue Baptist Church. Again, that's where I became a member, and that was a larger church. He became president of the Texas Baptist Convention, which allowed him the opportunity to preach at many other events. But you know, fame comes with consequences. And there was one ethics professor at Southwestern Seminary that once said this about Joe Gregory, that he went up too fast. In 1988, Dr. Gregory was invited to preach the annual convention sermon in San Antonio, Texas, and that's where the convention meets every year to talk about different things that the convention needs to do. And he was there and he preached a sermon. I still remember it's called The Castle in the Wall. And you could probably find it on YouTube. It was such an interesting, a great sermon. Well, after that event that he preached at the convention, went back to Travis Avenue Baptist, and not long after that, a larger church called him to preach, to come preach in their church. Actually, to become their pastor. And it was First Baptist of Dallas. And First Baptist of Dallas is like the pinnacle of Baptist churches. It's one of the largest ones, I think, in the country. Matter of fact, I think they have about 30,000 members. Five city blocks downtown Dallas have a radio station, a college, a school there. It was said that they have more millionaires in their church than most churches have members. Just an influential church, something that, you know, just the success got in to Dr. Gregory that just wanted to preach there at that church. There's nothing wrong with success, by the way, but it's got to be God-given success. Well, he took on that position. It was told that the pastor there at First Baptist was going to retire, but as he got there, he found out that, no, he wasn't going to retire right away, which began to be a struggle for Dr. Gregory there. There was stress there in the church for him. Finally, after 2 years, he offered his resignation and left the church. So many things had happened in his life that basically destroyed his marriage. Got a divorce, affected his family. He went from preaching in probably the biggest Baptist church in the country to he became a door-to-door salesman. You see, pride can take over, and pride can do great things, but can do bad things as well. Striving for success at any cost brought his downfall. And I've heard it said that people begin climbing the ladder of success only to find out when they reach the top that the ladder's leaning against the wrong wall. And that, I think, is what happened at this point. Got to the ladder of success, got to the peak of where he thought he needed to be, and it really wasn't where God wanted him to be. See, success can go to your head. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 26:12 says that there is more hope for a fool than someone wise in their own eyes. Pride can be a killer. Success that leads to power can be dangerous if we're not careful to acknowledge the one who is responsible. Uzziah began well, began great, but success began to mount. Pride took over, and his life became ruined. I'm going to show a video right now that describes what pride can do to a life.
When we choose to allow pride into our lives, it is built one brick at a time. It often starts small, but each additional thought or action is capable of building a tower dedicated to self. The result is often marvelous, a specimen of achievement, seemingly free from flaw or defect. But this image is built on nothing more than a foundation of self. As it climbs higher, the structure weakens, and as time passes, holes begin to appear. Each one a small clue alluding to the facade of the design. Bit by bit it grows, becoming unstable as it is weakened by its own attempt to outbuild its flaws. And then eventually it happens. The weight of the whole system becomes too much to contain and it collapses. Each piece of false glory crumbles to the ground, leaving us right back where we started with an opportunity to build again. Perhaps this time on a stronger foundation.
Well, we began today talking, showing some pictures of a politician, a couple of entertainers that had at least one tragic mistake that ruined their personal life, their professional life as well. Then we looked at King Uzziah, who lived about 3,000 years earlier. And here King Uzziah had a tragic event also that ruined his life. You know, this isn't limited to just those people that we talked about this morning. This is us. This is us. Each one of us can fall into that trap as well. As I talked about earlier, our adversary, Satan, is there ready to bring us to spiritual ruin. So we need to be careful where we are. We need to watch ourselves. We need to stay close to the Lord. So as I said, this can apply to anybody today. So what about your world today? Where are you? Maybe you are a believer, but things have happened in your life drawing you away from the Lord. And you need to come back, need to confess, come back to Him, and reinstate that walk, that close walk you once had. Or maybe you're here today and you've been running from God, and you know you are. Today can be the day that you ask Him into your life, become your Lord and your Savior, and keep running. Quit that running from Him. So we're going to conclude with a hymn. And the invitation is here today. If you need to ask Christ in your life, I'm here today if you'd like to talk to me. Or let's say that maybe you're thinking about uniting with our church. Come forward today. We'd love to talk to you about that as well.